Welcome everyone to another episode of Europe's B2B SaaS podcast. My name is Patrick and I am very excited to welcome Alessandro Graf, the head of business development at iSolutions in today's episode. Hi Alessandro, really happy to have you here today.
Thank you, Patrick, for having me.
Of course, I'm really looking forward to the discussion. So let's dive right in, as always, with your two tactical tips.
Yes, I prepared two. One of them is make one of your customers a compliment and mean it. So our customers, they have tough times too. They have private situation, they have internal politics, market environment like competitors and or supply chain issues and so on. And I made a very good experience. If you make once in a while a customer also a compliment, usually they are not accepting it. If you really mean it, then you can make someone's day.
I love it. Alessandro, maybe do you have an example? I think it's sometimes a very it's a very close to, you know, at some point that you come across like somebody who wants to be, who just wants to win the relationship, or somebody who's genuinely interested in, and genuinely means to compliment. I think it also is not only for prospects or people or customers, it's also internally with your employees, I think, to give sincere feedback, sincere compliments. I really like. Do you have an example of how that could?
Yeah, basically, what I recommend is if you do a sincere feedback, accompany it always with an example. What happened actually? And I recently had a presentation at an exec presentation at the customer's place, and the responsible for the project was presenting too, along with us as a provider. And he made some very good statements where he took some examples out of the daily life of the company itself. And I really felt that this made a change in the opinion of the executives of that company. And therefore, after the presentation, I called him up and I said, look, the examples you brought up, they're very cool. I saw the reaction of your supervisors. And therefore, I wanted to make a compliment because I really think that these examples help them to figure out why that solution is so important for that company and why they should go for that project.
Really love it. Great example.
Yeah.
What's the second tip, Alessandro?
The second tip is ask your customer about his personal motivation. Because I think too often we tend to focus, or as sales, we tend to focus too much on our products and our services. But at the end, we still deal with humans, with a different set of needs and life situations. And I think if you have sincere interest in the other person and you want to really help this person, it's a must to actually know what his or her motivations are.
For sure it is, definitely. And we should never assume that their motivations are in line with the company's. You may be able to assume that with the CEO, because the CEO's interests might align with the company's interests the most, because that's what he's supposed to be doing. But the lower you go in the levels, the lesser the connection becomes to the company goals. How do you do that though? Do you ask like directly in their face, hey, actually, what is your personal motivation in doing this? Or it depends on where you're in the process. Do you have an approach to that, how you do it?
Initially, I was quite hesitant because it's a very personal question. It's out of the normal sales frame. Where you ask these questions, and I made the experience that there is not the right or the wrong moment. If you really mean it, I think you can ask this question even though to a person to whom you don't have this personal relationship yet. Maybe it's even the start of it if you ask this question. But do you really ask the customer about his motivation, about his goal of this year? It can also, like a low entry could be what's on your scorecard for this year. Maybe not even the person motivation yet, but his company goals or his goals he has to achieve for that year. And frankly saying, I got sometimes the weirdest answers, the weirdest in a sense, and I didn't expect it that, like chief digital officer told me that his only goal is measured out of the revenue they do on the e-commerce. Mm-hmm. And I was quite surprised. I didn't thought that this is the only goal he has, but it gave me a very good impression about if this project we are talking about is really of his interest and how the project should look like in order to awaken the interest within him.
Wow, really cool example. Is it usually like that, Alessandro, that people give you the answers, or are some people like sometimes defensive, or is it actually no worries, just mean it and ask?
No worries, just mean it. And I'm in sales for about 12 years now in IT sales. And in Switzerland, you have this kind of attitude that you should get to know each other until unless you ask your customer for the you in Swiss German, the du or the German.
Yeah.
And I just go for it quite early, because I ask it with a purpose of being closer to the customer in order to solve his problems better, right? And therefore, I think every question you have, if it not gets too personal, you should go for it, you should mean it, and you should ask it with a clear focus that your actual goal is to solve your customer's problems. And the better you know the customer, the better the relationship is, the more transparent you can be with each other, mm-hmm. The better you can help. And sometimes you can't. That's a fact. If a customer tells you my goal is X and all your products are focusing on epsilon, then you might be able to give him a recommendation for even a competitor. And then he can become your customer maybe 2 or 3 years after, or once he changed the company and has different goals. He will call you up and say, hey, you were the guy who were so honest. Your products were amazing, not the right for me at that time. And he or she can become your customer.
Did it actually happen to you?
Oh, many times. Many times. Wow. And I think that's also something which customer will appreciate, if you are not that cheap kind of sales guy who tries to somehow frame his sentence in a way to please the customer or to fit somehow in. I think you can be transparent, you can be honest, or at least you should, and the same reaction you will create from the customer itself. And as soon as the customer will realize that that you can talk on eye level in order to really benefit him, then I think it's a win-win for both. Like it's like in a house of cards on Netflix, either you win both or you lose both. And I think sometimes being honest and say that you cannot help in that situation, it's a win-win for both, right? Because customer figure out anyhow after a while, after the project started, and he will feel cheated. And that's the worst thing can happen, because as a sales, you want to be on the market for some years, right? You want to create a perception of your persona. And the Swiss market, even Europe or the world, is a small place. Sometimes people talk about the others, and therefore you want to create an honest perception about yourself. Success is a byproduct. It comes by itself.
Yeah, if you act the way you say, I think actually it shouldn't. You shouldn't just behave that way that you're describing, you know, being that curious, honest, sincere, genuine person, because the market is small and people may detect that you've done something bad with somebody else. And now, no, because you should be doing that just because it's the right thing to do. So I'm drifting to philosophy and Kant. But I really like the way. Now, what do you think, Alessandro? Are some people just like that? Are they just, you know, like by nature, very curious people? And we as sales leaders, we need to find those people. I know you're hiring also three reps at the moment, or you're looking for three salespeople. Do we have to find exactly those sales, or can we develop them? What do you think?
I think in both ways. Of course, if someone is curious by nature, if he is a fan of humanity and different people, curious about cultures and stuff, that's something maybe someone has in his DNA out of his family, the way he or she grew up. On the other hand, I think it can also be something which can be developed, and I think as soon as people start to see the difference in the way in the results they bring, in the way about in the quality of the conversation they have with their customers, I think they will also start to get more into that mood of asking and wanting to start this kind of a relationship with the customers.
Mm-hmm. How was it with you? Like you said, 12 years in sales now, the first 2 years, that's the way you have been taught since the beginning? Or did you have some time at the beginning where you didn't know really that sincere curiosity is very important?
I would say somehow I felt it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. My struggles were others. As an example, I went to networking events, and when I came home from the event, I knew everyone from the event, and they knew me on the street. Hey, Alessandro, you were the nice guy from this talk, but I was not able to transform it to actual deals. So my problem was actually somehow different, but it already showed me out of the way how the people they reacted. So sometimes I also started to connect people. I remembered, this was the guy talking about Unique, this very great tool, how to ramp up sales. And then I get to know someone and he tells me, oh, we have really difficulties to teach our sales new skills and so on. And then I connect you and him and ideally there will be new business for you and better sales for him, right? And this is somehow how it started about 12 years ago from my side. So it started actually with the curiosity, and that's probably also why I landed in the sales.
Probably, yeah, and rightly so. Now, the problem you were describing, a problem you had back then, which was more related to closing or even get deals through. What exactly was that issue that you had?
I would say at that time, lack of experience, sometimes lack of confidence, quite young, had to deal with different executives. That was certainly one of the issues. And I would say also sometimes persistency, right? Mm-hmm. To get a no for a no and not try to change it to a yes. I think it was a mix of different elements at the end. But I think the step to where I wanted to go, like to be a successful sales, was rather low because the customer friendship was already there. It was just the transition was missing. But it consisted out of different elements, I would say. Probably the ones which came to my mind now were just a few of them, because I think becoming a good sales is a development which never finishes. It's a journey, and it has a lot to do with person development too, and therefore, yeah, I would say these were the points which came to my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess you are, when you say a lot to do with personal development and learning and stuff, you are yourself as well using certain books, materials and stuff to further develop your skills. What are some of your favorite sources, go-to sources?
I would say one which had a very big impact on my personal development was becoming a Dale Carnegie business coach. So I read all the books of Dale Carnegie, and I have done all the courses to become a coach too of Dale Carnegie. And I gave coachings to other companies and participants. And I think that changed a lot as well.
Wow, okay, that's cool. What coaching now? What's important when you coach other people? Can you say a few things about this?
The importance is to, same as I mentioned before, to get to know the motivation of the people, about their visions of their life. Do they have one? If yes, how does it look like? If no, how we can develop it together? And then, of course, also my how I see the participant. Like if someone says, I want to become a singer, and I see he or her voice are already perfectly, so then it's a small gap to take. We have to figure out what's missing. And for others, the gap is quite big, and you have to figure out a development plan, how to go there. So it's about figuring out where people stand there and where they would like to be. And also in Switzerland, we tend to be that this would like to be part, could even be a bit bigger. So they see themselves in the future smaller than the one they could be, which is also a mindset topic. And of course, then we work together also on these topics. And figure out after some weeks where they see themselves now, and which person they could be in the future. And usually, there's a big difference, which is quite nice to see.
Yeah, I see that. Interesting. I didn't read the book, by the way. I have to read that book as well, I guess, at some point. Put it on the list, because I only know How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's one of the classic, very old book from the 1930s or something. Not a sales focus, but I think so many salespeople know the book, because it's all about... I mean, that's where you learn that talking doesn't make you an interesting person to be with if you're the one who talks all the time. So that's one thing I got out. And I think the connection to sales is really close with. And that's what we do now. Also, we measure speaking time, and salespeople just very often speak too much, and the successful ones are speaking less than the unsuccessful ones.
Yeah, usually what you have out of these talks with customers is that you leave the call with the customer and you think it was a really successful call. But if you ask the important question, do you know the budget? Do you know the motivation of the customer? Do you know by when they would like to have the project done? Why do they have this deadline? Is it a special event? Usually, the people who talk too much, they cannot give answers to these relevant questions. And actually, this is the opposite way what we should create in customer's mind. So if customer talks a lot, he thinks that it was a good meeting. It's a human perception. If we talk a lot, then we think it was a nice talk. And for us as sales, it's a good thing because we get to know more. We have the chance to ask the relevant questions, right? If you go to the doctor, he should ask the right questions to you in order to make a better analysis of your pain, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I agree. So when you talk a lot and you don't really know how the person feels. I actually had an example with this. And if I didn't ask, I would never have known. I think it was a demo and I showed a feature that I know, or I told them, hey, this can solve you this pain. And they said, oh, that's a really interesting feature. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of the salespeople continue and think like, yes, interesting. He's going to buy or she's going to buy. So I asked, interesting? What do you mean? Could this be valuable for you? And he was like, no, actually, I don't use it, but it's you know, it looks fancy. And like, yeah, okay. And this is okay, maybe in Switzerland a bit more than in other countries. In Switzerland, you know, people are nice and they tell you when they find something fancy or good, because yeah, they are nice, but then don't necessarily mean that they can use this interest. I mean, this is interesting doesn't mean this is valuable. That's what I learned from that interaction. So that's one case. Now, one other thing that I wanted to add. I mean, yes, people usually they feel better when they talk a lot. One difference though is when you do outbound sales, you cold call someone and you have book a meeting with that person. In that first meeting, we usually do a discovery call, right? And
yep.
You know, they don't take 30 minutes just for you to ask them a lot of questions and they don't get anything out. So they have to get out something there as well. And they want to hear something after. If you do it right, you ask a few questions and then you present a solution that might be something like just like that without showing anything and going into details. But they want to show, they want to see something. As well, I'm not sure if you are also if these situations also happen with you.
Definitely, I mean, same experience here, and I think, I mean, if you do, as you said, cold calling, right? The customer sometimes you don't actually know in which situation this person is, how many time he or she has, so you want to become quite quickly relevant for them. And that's where you drop your industry know-how, you know exactly the pain of that industry and of that company, because you studied the company up front. That's where you actually start becoming interesting for that person. And I think there it's, as you said, it's a bit a different approach in the cold calling. And I think the listening part is coming afterwards. Once the person has gotten a feeling that you are not just taking his or her time, but you are actually relevant for solving actual problems.
Yeah. Do you have a, how do you do that, Alessandro? Now, do you have a script with all the questions you ask? Do you have a methodology that you use to know, like, kind of where I have to go with my questions? Do I have to ask some implication questions, some problems questions, the way I ask? Is there, do you have, what? How do you do that?
Yeah, along my journey, I have written probably 1,000 scripts for cold calling and
other. I hope action. You also use them.
Yeah, maybe the first or the second time. You know, my journey has a lot to do with fun. And if you have fun with something, you become spontaneous, you become more hands-on in what you are doing. What I usually do, if I have a call with a customer, I take my 1-2 minutes up front and figure out myself what do I actually need to know once once the call is done? What information do I need in order to help the customer solving his problems? And this is what I do. And so there is not a certain script, but I set up the goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something probably salespeople with a bit more experience, they go for. Whereas when I started, I was working much more with scripts.
Yeah. And would you recommend that? Or do you think scripts, not a good idea?
I would say scripts is a good idea. Especially once you start your sales journey, just to make sure that you get the relevant information as well. Because it has happened too often that you finish the call and then, oh shit, I should have asked this question or that question. Or you go to your delivery and you want to create a very fancy offer for the customer. And then do you ask this one, or what's actually the pain? Why does customer, what's the actual solution? You know, all this question you are confronted to. And I think if you start your journey, you want to make sure to not miss those questions, because calling the customer back and asking again, it leaves sometimes maybe a bad impression, but they're not the best impression.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah, Alessandro, our time is already up. So 30 minutes are over really quickly.
That was
very interesting. Indeed, I think the tactical tips will help. You can do that immediately tomorrow. So I advise do that tomorrow. Compliment someone on a meeting that you just had as a genuine compliment. The second one was the question, huh? The personal question, like you should ask and you should put that in. It's not
motivation.
About just motivation, actually. Yeah. Like motivation, and you not just ask about the company's, the company motivation or the company, where the company is going is not necessarily where the person you're talking to wants to go. I mean, obviously towards that goal, but has very different motivations, and you need to know these in order to understand whether that person could be a champion, for instance, or really can be there with your solution. So that was extremely helpful. Thanks, Alessandro. And talk to you another time. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, Patrick.